I want to speak about a Rashi. Can you hear me, everybody? Okay. We don't need the microphone. I want to speak about a Rashi in the beginning of this coming week's Sedra, and use it for a springboard to discuss a more general topic. You're familiar with the Rashi that says, Eila told us Noach ish tzadik, tomim hoya bedorosa, veso elokim misalech Noach. And Rashi brings down a chazal, tomim hoya bedorosa, yesh dorshim meshmi rabosenu shedorshim l'shevach, v'yesh shedorshim l'gnai. Some learn this, that it says bedorosov in his generations as a praise to Noach, that if he could be such a tzaddik in generations that were so wicked, how much more so would he have been a tzaddik in more righteous generations? And yesh darshim lignai, in some darshin it the opposite way, as a criticism of Noach. Noach was righteous compared to the people of his generation. Had he been in a generation of tzaddikim like Avram, he wouldn't have been considered anything. So, the Mefarshim asked the following question. If there's a possibility of learning this in a positive way, and a possibility of learning it in a negative way, why would anyone want to learn something negative about Noach if you could learn something positive? To make the question even stronger, there are 32 rules of how to learn Medrash, just like there are 13 rules of how to learn Halacha from the Torah. One of the rules of Medrash is that whenever the Torah says something about a tzaddik, you're supposed to learn as many positive things about a tzaddik that you can by inferring things from the Torah. And the Torah wants you to infer as many negative things about a Rasha. So there's a rule that everything the Torah wrote about a tzaddik is to be inferred for the good. So why would, if you could equally learn this as a criticism of Noach, as equally as a praise, why would you be allowed to learn it as a criticism? Why could there be an opinion that learns this as a critique of Noach rather than a praise of Noah? So there are many answers, but I think perhaps the answer could be the following. The one who learns that this is a critique of Noah learns it from the pasuk itself. The pasuk says like this, Noah ish tzaddik. Noah was a tzaddik. Tomim hoya bedorosov. He was perfect in his generations. Esho Elokim Misalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem. Now on those last words, the Medrash comments the following. There is a tremendous difference between what it says by Avram Avinu and what it says by Noach. By Noach it says he walked with Hashem. Esho Elokim Misalech Noach. Yet by Avram it says, his Salech Lifonai Veheyesomim. Walk before me. And the Medrash compares it to the following. A king was walking through the street and he saw one of his friends in the mud. So he picked him up out of the mud and he said, walk with me. And another friend that the king had was lighting the way for the king through a window. The king was coming down the street and he was lighting up the way for the king from the window. So the king said, instead of lighting up my way in a window, why don't you walk in front of me and light up the way before me? So too, by Noach walked with Hashem. And the Medrash also comments that Noach needed a constant help, constant support. So he had to walk together with Hashem, and Hashem constantly supported him. But Avraham Avinu didn't need that constant support, and therefore he walked in front of Hashem, before Hashem. His Salech Lefonai. Now it's interesting that in that same pasuk it also mentions the word tomim. Hisaleich lefonai veheyeh tomim. You will be perfect, tomim, if you walk before me. Noach, it says, Noach, tomim hoya bedorosav, He was perfect in his generations, Esho Elokim, and he walked with Hashem. The one who learns that this is a critique of Noah puts those two things together. Noah was Tamim in his generations, but he walked with Hashem, as compared to Avram Avinu, who walked before Hashem. Now let me explain what all that means. First of all, Noah was a tzaddik, and he was a tamim. What's the difference between a tzaddik and a tamim? So the Gemara says, tzaddik b'maisav, v'tamim b'drachav. He was a tzaddik in his actions. He did things that were righteous. He didn't do things that were negative. He didn't steal. He wasn't immoral. He wasn't an Oved Avodah Zorah. He was a tzaddik. And tamim refers to his drachim, which means his midos. The drachim, the ways of a person, are his midos. He also had perfect midos. He was a bal midos. He had a good character. He did things that were righteous, and he had a good, perfect character. However, there are two kinds of character traits. One, a person develops his character that he doesn't harm other people, that he gets along with people. One kind of character traits stem and have their root in society. You don't step on other people's toes, you act nicely to them, you're merciful to them, and so on, because that's the way that people act one with the other. Those are more the social niceties of midos tovos that depend on society. That's one root of midos tovos, being a nice social person, being able to live socially together with other people. There's a much higher level of midos tovos. The halachto bidrachav, you should follow in the ways of Hashem. Again, drachim. Tamim haya bidorosav, right? Bidrachav, it says. Tamim bidrachav. How do you create midos tovos? There's a second way. V'halachto bidrachav. You should walk in the ways of Hashem. Mahu rachum afatotehi rachum. A second level of midos tovos is not because it's socially nice. It's because you are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're emulating the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tremendous difference between the two. One difference is, when do you really need to have midos tovos? If the whole root of midos tovos is what's socially good and socially accepted, then it really only applies when you're dealing with other people. But if you are alone in your house and nobody else is around, you don't really have to have midos tovos because it doesn't socially affect anybody else. But if the root of midos tovos is emulating Hashem and being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that means that what a real human being is someone who's like Hashem. And even if it affects nobody else and nobody else is around, you still have to have midos tovos. You still have to act in a way that is proper, because that is the way that a human being acts. Not just because how it affects other people, but how it affects you. You are not a real human being unless you are like Hashem. It's a much higher level. There are other differences also. We'll get to them in a second. In any case, so basically the difference is the following. Noach was a tzaddik, and that wasn't only in his generation. He would have been a tzaddik in any generation. He acted in a very righteous way. He believed in God. He didn't serve idolatry. He wasn't immoral. He didn't murder people. He didn't steal from people. He was a tzaddik. But he also was a tamim. He had a very good character. But his good character was only good compared to his generation, because he walked with Hashem, Esho Elokim. Elokim is God in nature. He walked together with Hashem. He didn't have the bad midos of the people around him. He was a very sociable, nice person. But that was the level of midos in his generation. Compared to Avram Avinu, he would have been considered nothing. Because the level of midos tovos, which is only to make you a socially acceptable person, is nothing compared to the midos that you get if you compare yourself to Hashem. That you work on your midos and you become a person who acts like the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they learned it lignai, because the Torah says it lignai. The Torah qualifies Tamim Hoya Bedorosa because Eso Elokim is Salech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem, as opposed to Avram Avinu, who walked before Hashem. And it's interesting, the Sfarno says on that pasuk, Hisalech Lefonai Veheyeh Samin, walk before me, and you will be perfect as a human being can be in this world. He says it means the following: walk in front of me and turn around and look at me and observe me and observe my midos and emulate them, copy them, and then you will reach the perfection that a human being can reach by having the midos that you see and observe by me. It's the same thing. The idea of walking before Hashem is turning around, looking at him, having him opposite you, so you can copy his midos. And that is what we say when we daven. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. I have Hashem opposite me all the time. I'm observing him, and I am learning what his midos are, so that's what my midos can be also. And that means, that's what davening is all about. Davening is getting to know Hashem and to attach yourself to him and realize that you depend on him, and the way to attach yourself and to know him is to know his midos and to have the same midos. Okay, now let me make it much clearer what the difference is between these two levels of midos. The level of midos that a person has to be socially proper, and the level of midos to be like Hashem. One difference is the difference between a human being, a real human being, and an animal. There was a, let me tell you first something that Reb Simcha Zissel of Kelim said, and then we'll try to understand what it really means. Cute, very cute thing. He said the following. He said that Charles Darwin, who formulated the theory of evolution, that human beings evolved from apes, did so because he never saw a real human being. So he assumed that the animal-type people around him could come from other animals. But if he ever saw a real human being like my Rebbe, Rebbe Yisrael Salanter, he never would have made such a theory. It's impossible to believe that a human being like Rebbe Yisrael Salanter came from an ape. Now that's very cute, but is it true? That seems to imply that Charles Darwin was a very uncouth, unrefined person. Maybe he swung from vines in the jungle, eating bananas or whatever, or like Tarzan. And he had friends that were all unrefined people who munched on turkey legs all day or whatever and drank beer. And therefore, he saw all these uncouth people, so he thought they came from apes. But that's not true. Charles Darwin was a very refined, intellectual person. His friends, his social group, were very refined, intellectual people. How could Reb Simcha Zissel say that he never saw a real human being? These were very refined, intellectual people. I think what he means is the following. Based on the following story. This story was said about the Maral, Rabbi Yonason Abeshitz, and the Rambam, which lets me believe that it never happened at all, and it's a nice story. But it makes no difference. It's basically a nice marshal. The story goes like this. I saw it in print about the Rambam, so we'll mention about the Rambam. The Rambam had a debate or an argument with a philosopher. The philosopher said that you can train an animal to go against its instincts. And the Rambam said you can't. So the philosopher said, I'll prove to you that you can. Give me 10 cats and I will train them to go against their instincts. So they got 10 cats, and the philosopher took them home. And a few months later, he notifies the Rambam that he has trained these cats to go against their instincts. The Rambam should come and witness the fact that he's wrong. So he invites the Rambam to a big banquet. And at the beginning of the banquet, the philosopher gets up, takes a little bell out of his pocket, and rings it. And all of a sudden, 10 cats appear out of the kitchen, standing on their hind legs like human beings, with a towel wrapped around one arm and perfectly balancing trays on the other arm, and they serve the entree. And they curtsy, and they go back into the kitchen. The philosopher turns to the Rambam and he says, "You see, I trained these cats to think they're waiters and waitresses. They go completely against their instincts of walking on four legs. They're walking totally erect on two legs. They can balance the trays. They serve the meal. They even curtsy." The Rambam says, "Very nice, but it's a long meal. Let's see what happens." Nope. They finish the entree. The philosopher rings his bell. They come and serve the main course. Finally, it comes time for dessert. The Rambam takes out a little box, opens it up and puts it on the floor, and the philosopher takes his bell and rings it again, and the cats come out to serve dessert. But in minutes, there is total pandemonium in the hall. The trays are being thrown all over. All of the dessert is being thrown on the floor. And the cats are down on all four legs chasing the mice that the Rambam let loose. The Rambam turns to the philosopher and he says, "You can train a cat to be a waiter all you want, but let the first mouse go by and the cat remembers he's a cat, he's not a waiter." That is an animal. An animal is created with instincts, it can't change. You can't change the instincts of an animal. In fact, the Maharal Miprag says that's what a behema means. Ba-ma. Whatever it is, it is. It doesn't change. Shor ben yomo kori shor. A shor is called a shor when it's born. It's called a shor when it dies. It doesn't change. Where there is Adam, Adam in gematria is ma. What? Because he's always changing. You always have to ask what and where he is, because a human being is constantly changing. He's not always the same. The difference between an animal and a human being is animals are created with instincts. You can train an animal to control those instincts temporarily, but you can't change them. And let the first mouse go by, the animal will follow its instincts. A human being, on the other hand, can train himself to change himself. He can change. He can be a different person. He no longer will have those instincts. He'll be in total control of them. That's the difference between an animal and a human being. And that is hinted to in the following pasuk. Umosar ha'adam min habehema ayin. The difference between an animal and a human being is ayin, that human beings can say no. They don't only have to follow their instincts. Now, there is a tremendous difference between somebody who gets good character traits in order to be socially acceptable, to be able to live together with other people, and somebody who works on his character in order to emulate Hashem. One of them is like a trained cat. Even animals can be trained. I can train myself to act properly amongst other people and not to act in a way that's socially unacceptable. You can train people. They go to etiquette school, right? And they learn how to act properly. But you can train a cat to be a waiter too. That doesn't change the person's nature. It doesn't change and make him a different person. It's the same person, just he's controlling himself like a cat can control himself too. But it doesn't transform him into something else. On the other hand, somebody who works on his midos to emulate the midos of Hashem can actually change his person, change his instincts, and be in total control. That's the difference between them. That's why by Noah, where it says that he had a perfect character, But his character was in nature. Esho Elokim. Elokim is God in nature. I can act in a natural way, like any other animal. I can act nicely if I'm trained and train myself to do it. That doesn't make me a different person, doesn't make me in total control, and the difference is that let the first mouse go by, I'm finished. Mice come in all sizes, shapes, and forms. For cats, they're little four-legged creatures. For human beings, they can be money, they can be other attractions and things that a person wants, and let that first little bit go by, and you are down on all fours and following your instincts. And that's why Noah constantly needed support from Hashem, because he never changed his character. He never was in complete control. He just was like a well-trained animal. He trained himself to act properly, but he wasn't a different person. He wasn't in complete control. Avram Avinu, it says, Ani Kel Shakai, Hisalech Lefonai Veheyei Samin. By Avram, it mentions the name Shakai, not Elohim. Elohim is God in nature. Shakai, the Ramban says, is God who rules over nature, who can change nature. And that was Avram Avinu before Bris Milah. By Bris Milah, Avram Avinu changed himself into a different person. And that's why it says that up until the Bris Milah, Avram Avinu was Avram. He ruled over 245 of his Evarim. But his eyes and his ears, he couldn't rule over. You see whatever you see, and you hear whatever you hear. But after he became Avram, and he became that person who was in total control, he could control what he saw, and he could control what he heard also. It's a different person, in total control. That is Ani Kel Shakai, Hisalech Lefonai, walk before me, observe me, work on yourself, and become a real human being where you are in total control of your midos, not just trained to do them temporarily. That's what Simcha Zissel meant. Darwin for sure saw refined people, very, very fine people with good midos. But they never worked on their midos to really be in total control. They just were like trained cats. So they were very refined, but not different in kind than an animal. An animal could do that too. Except they were greater animals, more refined animals, but basically not different than an animal. And therefore it's possible that a very refined animal like this could come from a less refined animal. But Reb Simcha Zissel was different in kind than any animal. No animal can change its instinct. A human being can. You can be in total control and emulate Hashem's midos. Not something just that you do because you're trained to act in a socially acceptable way. But you're a different person. Even when you're in behind closed doors, you act like that because you're in total control. That is totally different than the species of an animal. And therefore, had Charles Darwin seen a person like that, he would have realized that animals and people are not the same kind, just different in degree. They're different in kind, and therefore one couldn't have possibly come from the other. That's what Simcha Zissel meant. If that's the case, so that is the Maila of Avram Avinu compared to Noah. Noah was perfect in his generations, because in his generations there weren't people like Avram Avinu. There were people who had good midos, but their good midos were basically like animals, trained, well-trained to be socially acceptable. Where the root of the midos was, don't step on other people's toes, be a nice person, get along with people, live harmoniously, which is very nice. But compared to the midos of Avram, which were emulating Hashem, which changed his nature completely, which put him in total control, and that no mouse in the world could ever bring him down on all fours, no matter what form that mouse took, that is something that is totally different. And compared to that, the midos of Noah were nothing. In Tamim Haya Bedorosov, had he been in the door of Avraham Avinu, he would have been considered nothing. Because that kind of midos, compared to these kinds of midos, are completely different. There's an interesting svarno in the end of last week's Sedra, which according to this idea explains what he says very nicely. The Noach motza chein be'enei Hashem. Noach got a freebie, something free from Hashem that he didn't deserve. What was that? That his family was saved from the mabul. He didn't deserve to have his family saved. Says the Svarno, even though Noach rebuked his generation and he told them what things not to do because they weren't socially acceptable and they were wrong to do, he never taught them to know Hashem and walk in his ways. And therefore he wasn't successful in influencing his generation, as opposed to Avraham Avinu, who influenced his generation and converted a lot of people to believe in Hashem. Because Avraham Avinu taught them to know Hashem and walk in his ways, and Noach didn't. He taught them what was socially acceptable. And therefore, only a person who perfects other people deserves to have other people saved in his merit. Somebody who only perfects himself and doesn't perfect other people deserves to have himself saved, but not other people. So the fact that Hashem saved Noah's family was extra free, didn't deserve it. Now what does this Svarno mean? The Svarno says, why was Noah not successful in trying to influence other people? He tried. Because all he did was teach them what was socially proper and what was wrong to do. But he didn't teach them to know Hashem and walk in his ways. What does that mean? I think what it means is the following. The people of the generation were thieves, they were immoral, and Noah gave them Musar. And he told them it's wrong to be thieves, and it's wrong to be immoral, and it's socially unacceptable. And they may have listened to him for a while. But he didn't change their personalities. He worked on the symptoms. If you have a cold, or you have some kind of infection, so you're coughing and sneezing and you have a fever, you go to a doctor. The doctor says, let's see what we have here. Fever, here's aspirin. It'll bring down your fever. Coughing, here's some cough syrup. It'll take away the cough. You're sneezing, here is a decongestant, right, antihistamine, whatever, you take away your sneezing. You take all this medicine and you feel fine. Are you cured? No. What did he do? He took away your symptoms. What's going to happen? In about 3 hours, when the medicine wears off, you're going to be sneezing again and coughing again. You have a fever. You go to a second doctor. He says, you have an infection. So I'm going to give you something that'll work against the infection, right? And what is it called? Bacteria. What? Antibiotics, thank you. Antibiotics, and it'll cure you. It's going to take about 10 days. You take the 10 days antibiotics, and everything goes away. Is it going to come back? No. Why? He cured the disease. He didn't treat the symptoms. If you tell people it's wrong to steal, and it's not socially acceptable, and you train them like a animal to do what's right, that only treats the symptoms. You didn't change the people. They still have the same yetzer haras, they still have the same bad midos, but they're trained not to do things but wrong. What's going to happen? The first mouse is going to go by, the guy's going to see something he wants, he's going to be down on all fours. But if you teach them to know Hashem and walk in his ways, which means to have the midos that are not just socially acceptable midos, but to work on your midos and to make them part of you, to change your nature, to be in total control, because you now emulate Hashem, then you cured the disease. Avraham Avinu was successful in being mashpia on people because he taught them how to change their midos and to be like Hashem. Whereas Noah wasn't successful because all he taught them was how to train and act properly to control themselves temporarily, but not to change themselves completely. That's the difference between them. That was the difference between Avraham and Noach, and that's the difference between the midos of the nations of the world They also can have good midos, can be very refined and nice people, but their midos stem from what is socially acceptable. They don't change themselves to be different people. They're the same people who can act properly, like a trained cat. That's fine. Better than being a untrained cat. But it's not the same as being a real human being, which Avraham Avinu bequeathed to us. We have the ability to work on our midos. Not easy. Most of the time we do the same thing as Noach did. We just train ourselves to act properly, but we're not really in total control. And when the mice go by, we're down on all fours. But if we want to be the real heirs to Avraham Avinu, then we can make our midos tovos. You have to work on them. It's a lot of work to master a midah and to be in total control. But then you're like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then you have that connection. Shivisi Hashem v'negdi tomi. Then you have that tremendous connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then you're in total control. And that's the way you can mashpi on other people too, if you teach them to be in total control. And then you're a real human being. That's why the one who darshins lignai, darshin, not because he decided that Bedorosov is negative to Noah. It's as the Torah said, he was tamim in his midos, only in his generation, because he walked with Elohim, within nature. That's how he had midos tovos, within nature. As opposed to Avram, where the Torah says openly, Hisalech lefonai v'heyei samim. Your tmimus, your perfection in midos is something different completely. It's walking before me. You don't need that constant support, because once you change yourself, you're in control. You're looking at me, observing me, becoming like me, being in total control. Shakai, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam can change nature, you can change your nature too. And compared to the level of Avraham, the level of Noach is nothing. Not anything compared to the level of midos that Avraham Avinu exhibited. I think that is a way of understanding this Rashi. And it opens a tremendous amount of thought that you should think of how to tackle work on midos. Is it good enough just to be a nice person and to act nicely and to speak nicely, which is all very nice, better than being a lousy, miserable person, right? And having people can't get along with you or whatever. I'm not minimizing how nice it is to be nice. But that's not what we are capable of doing. We're capable of changing our natures. And not just being nice people, but being godly people. But that takes a lot of work. And these days, people don't like to work on anything. Especially midos, which are the hardest thing to work on.
What about going to work about
a system on group?
They are changing themselves.
It could be that even a goy can do this. We have the ability to do it because we had avos like we did as a nation. Everybody has that potential. Could be that a goy, first of all, a goy can become a Jew if he wants. But if a goy wants to work on himself and even become close to Hashem and even become holy, he could, as an individual.
Yeah.
But as a nation, Klal Yisrael has that potential. As a nation, there's no other nation that has the potential. Yeah, that's possible, yeah. Even every individual in the world has that capability. But they don't have it as part of their makeup as a part of a nation. They have it as a human being. If they want to develop it, they can develop it. It's much more difficult for them because we have the genetic, spiritual genetic makeup that makes it easier. They don't have that. But they can do it, yeah. Goyim have that possibility also. Okay, then you get something to think about, and it puts midos tovos in a completely different picture, right? And yes.
I was thinking about like Noah and his situation. If I was in that generation, I don't know if I would be able to even, you know, with all the influences that he had, to even be able to keep to, you know, what was socially proper. I feel like it's a little.
Yeah, nobody is minimizing how great Noah was. Lamaisi is the only person the whole world was saved from the flood. He was a great person. The question is, comparative to Avraham Avinu, relative, there was something missing. But let me tell you something else about Noach, though. We'll end with something easier. I have a different shot to answer this question. The question was, how could you darshan lignai on Noach if you could say something nice about him? And also, I have another question. Tamim means perfect. Noach was perfect in his generation. You can't be perfect relative. Either you're perfect or you're not perfect. You're not perfect compared to this and not perfect compared to that. Perfect is an absolute term. So how can it be perfect in his generation? The way we explain it, there's two different levels of perfection. He was perfect according to the standards he had. Avraham Avinu created a different standard. I have an easier thing. I'll tell you a story. We'll end with that. When I was in elementary school, there was a boy in my class in the Hebrew Academy of Greater Miami who was a real rebel. I mean, he was really a troublemaker in every way. He was a troublemaker, bein adam lechaveiro. He didn't keep the rules, Torah rules either. And they knew that if they threw him out of school, he would go to public school, and that would be the end of him. So there was no other day schools in the city at the time. So they held on to him until he was a bad influence on everybody, and they just couldn't keep him anymore. So they asked him to leave the school, and he went to public school. And everybody thought, that's the end of this kid, Yiddishkeit-wise. All of a sudden, the kid started wearing his tzitzis out, right, making loud brachas in the cafeteria of the public school on the kosher food he would bring, and he became a little tzaddik. What was the idea? Most people in this world are influenced by the environment they're in. They're in a good environment, they're good. And if in a bad environment, they're influenced for the bad. But there's exceptions. There are people who are natural rebels. And when they're in a good environment, they rebel against that. And when they're in a bad environment, they rebel against that. That's exactly what this kid did. When he was surrounded by other people who were frum or whatever, he rebelled against it. When he was surrounded by goyim or whatever, he all of a sudden became a little tzaddik. So it was good for him that they threw him out and that he was in a public school. And that's the exception to the rule. That's the shiloh with Noach. Everybody agrees that Noach was a perfect tzaddik. The question is why? Was he a perfect tzaddik despite his generation, like you said? Even though he had all those terrible influences, he withstood them. And despite that, he became a tzaddik, or maybe not. Maybe you know why Noach was such a tzaddik? Because he was a tzaddik because of his generation. Because he lived in a generation like that, it gave him the incentive to rebel against it and to be a tzaddik. Had he been in a generation of good people, he wouldn't have had that incentive. He wouldn't have been such a good tzaddik. That's another way of learning that Rashi.